Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, Grapple fans. After a short hiatus, the Pro Wrestling Index is back and ready for a collar and elbow tie-up as we put a headlock on all the happenings with WWE and beyond. I am your host, Danny Wales, and joined not tonight by my usual on-air tag team partner, Mo Chatra. Only, unfortunately, Mo not here with us tonight, but ready to step into the breach as ever. The leg drop to my big boot. It's Sky Drinkle. There's enough cheese there for you, Guy.
I don't expect anything else when I come on. Nothing tops the singing. Nothing tops the.
No, well, you never know. You never know. You may have just inspired me.
Oh dear.
And I didn't even announce that you'd come out of the Guyrilla position, but there you go.
That's just usual now. I mean, Moore's done his full Undertaker and Bray Wyatt and just buggered off out of nowhere, hasn't he?
Who was it? Oh no, that was Roman Reigns accusing people of being buried. Never mind. plenty for us to discuss tonight. I mean, the dust, as well and truly settled in WWE since SummerSlam. And like you said, you know, we've still got plenty to talk about. Certainly over the past week or two, from Raw and SmackDown to NXT, and a bit about the Mae Young Classic as well, although we'll probably do a bit more in depth on that next week when Mo's back, because I know Mo was paying particular attention to that one. However, spoiler alert, we won't be delving too deeply into Raw, because we will be previewing the Raw pay-per-view No Mercy next week. But Guy, would be interested to get your thoughts on what I can see is, or what I should say, I see as a bit of a trend recently on Raw of these shoot style promos. And that includes The Miz, you know, going for it on Enzo Amore this past week. But most notably has been the two in front of John Cena and Roman Reigns. And that has gotten awful lot of attention. So I mean, we know it's scripted, really, or we certainly surmise that if not all of it's scripted, then the vast majority of it is scripted. But you know, the way they've been teeing off on each other, and the lengths that they've gone to, notably John Cena, to score points off each other on the microphone in the ring, it's got that bit of an edge to it, hasn't it? I mean, what do you feel about watching it?
It's very enjoyable. It really is. I mean, I think people have deemed this the reality era, haven't they? And people, more so than ever, know when people have, well, let's say Roman Reigns is, John Cena's drug comment to Roman Reigns. We all know he got suspended for a weed related incident, apparently. So we all know stuff like that happened. So why not use that as certain ammunition? And it really does work. As you said, John Cena's winning every one of these, because although he does speak in cliches quite a lot, he is much more of a natural talker than Roman Reigns. I mean, I think he was the first one, or the contract signed, when Roman Reigns seemingly lost his way in the script. And
got his lights.
Yeah, it was a tad embarrassing, and you could just see John Cena just took him to the cleaners there, didn't he?
Yeah, and then he got the crowd chanting, "You fucked up,
yeah.
You fucked up, you fucked up."
I mean, when that happens, you know it's going to be a good night. But I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed it. To be fair, I mean, we were just talking before we started recording that Raw's upped its game quite a lot. I mean, I don't know if that's because Lesnar's about, or we've got this main WrestleMania level match build. That's what it's feeling like. It's feeling a bit like one of the big pay-per-views is around the corner. But no, we've got a Raw exclusive pay-per-view in No Mercy rather than SummerSlam that's just happened and was a tad underwhelming at parts. But yeah, it's been a really good build, and Raw's been really, really special lately. It's been very good TV.
Yeah, I'd say I think Raw picked its game up a few months back, really.
Mm.
And it's just, I think it's rather than focusing on just one or two storylines, they've kind of spread things out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It's as though they've realised, you know, we need to, you know, we need to sort of engage the audience in more than one or two storylines, you know, yeah, more exactly. than half a dozen performers. And I think it's the elevation of the tag team division that they're getting more focus and people are getting behind that. There's heavy sort of influence there, the accent that they're putting on to the women's division.
Small word on the use of Jason Jordan as well. He's had a couple of really good matches recently. I know his stuff with The Miz was a bit crap, but him and Reigns and him and Cena was very good.
Yeah, oh, the really good matches. I mean, he's a in terms of, you know, technical ability, he's fantastic in the ring.
Still a tad boring, but...
Yeah, he doesn't have the natural charisma. He doesn't have that about him.
I can't believe he didn't get that off his dad.
Well, yeah, that storyline, I really don't like that storyline. And I do like the fact that they've started to rein Kurt Angle in a bit. We're not seeing him coming out every sort of 10 minutes doing his "you suck" chant, you know, and it's like...
Less cheese.
Well, it's just kind of, you really... shouldn't be doing that, you know. You're coming out to make, if kayfabe, you know, kayfabe alert. If you're going to come out as an authority figure to make important announcements and make, these big decisions, then walking out chanting along with the crowd "you suck" kind of takes us out of the moment, you know.
Exactly. That's a good point. Actually, I didn't click onto that, but. I love seeing Kurt Angle because obviously he's had his demons and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, less is more. And that's the thing. It's special having him back. It's great. We love it. But, you know, it's like having Christmas dinner every day of the week. You know, you get fed up after a bit and it's, let's keep it special, you know. And like you say, we see less of him. But because we're seeing less of him, we enjoy the, you know, what we do see of him, and it's utilizing that sort of that charisma and on-screen presence that he has, and it's great. And I like you say, look, I think they have upped the game in recent months, and there is so many different storylines going on, and they're intertwining a few of them, and the whole Braun Strowman thing, and it's
imagine
there's a
what
lot
it'd be like without the injuries of, I mean, the Revival and Samoa Joe, just him the couple.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, Revival, I mean, it's been unfortunate, but because of the other things that are happening in the tag division, you haven't really noticed it too much. Samoa Joe, you almost haven't noticed that he's not been on TV for a couple of weeks because there's so many other things going on. And I just think, you imagine if Raw was a two-hour show, it really would be fantastic, because then the little bits of filler and the incessant adverts and all the rest of it we take them out and you have got an unbelievable, you know, a really, really high quality show. So it's
you'd have less getting better. Omori.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to see less of him anyway, but
Welcome to Tuesday night.
Yeah, well, is it? Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, God knows. Yeah, I haven't watched 205 in so long. I honestly cannot remember the last time I watched it, and it is a bit of a shame. I mean, I think if they'd have filmed 205 at Full Sail, you know, where they do the NXT tapings, I think in that small arena with that more hardcore audience, it probably would have got over much better, or, you know, to the TV audience in the way that NXT does. And it would have felt more special than it is. So it's a shame with what's happened there. And I think it's a really low ranking program on the network as well.
Well, so, they got rid of Talking Smack because it was beating 205.
So that's the thing, you know, putting it at the end of SmackDown in a half empty arena. It's a show after a show, and people aren't particularly interested because of the whole way it's being presented.
Everything's got to be three hours now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just feels like they've really made a mess of it, and it is a real shame because it was. After that tournament they had last year, it was a real opportunity to do something. Mm. And, you know, other than, you know, a few people here and there, and obviously Neville as champion, Neville's been brilliant. It has been a big disappointment, and it is a shame. So, I mean, we mentioned, like, Enzo and that shoot-style promo that Miz was giving to him. And obviously what Miz was given was scripted to him. But there was an awful lot of truth in there, and a lot of the rumors that are going round about Enzo, you know, that not being too popular at the back, and, you know, being kicked out of places and all the rest of it. It's, you know, I mean, do you feel like that promo was just further humiliation, and do you see, like, being on 205 as almost like a demotion for Enzo?
I don't think there was anywhere else for him to go. I mean, on the mic. Well, he's not my cup of tea speaking wise, but he obviously has a relationship with the WWE universe. I'd probably say he's more suited to younger and probably more of an American market. Like, as British people, we were talking about the hype bros before the pod. It was like, we just don't get it, do we? So I'd kind of put him in the hype bro market where, as British people, I don't think he's not for us. So I think you can put him in that market, but that shoot promo obviously brought him up cheating on his girlfriend as well, which came out last week. So that kind of went up another level there. But yeah, I agree. I wouldn't say it's a demotion, but I think it just shows his limitations in the ring, because he obviously sells a lot of merchandise. He's quite popular with certain demographics and stuff, but he's not. Well, he's not good enough to wrestle with 205 live people. I think he's just there as a marketing thing to try and make people watch it, really. But could you imagine him, like, even with The Miz, if we're going to use him, could you imagine Enzo feuding with The Miz? Could you imagine how bad that'd be?
Yeah, certainly the in-ring side of it is going to be poor. I mean, I kind of wonder whether the future for him may be just as, like, a manager, yeah. You know, you're like your Jimmy Hart, you know, that is that kind of a build, isn't it? You know, the guy with a big mouth who can talk a lot, but maybe in the sense of, you know, going back to, like, Bobby Heenan, you know, who was able to take a bump. He knew how to take a bump. I mean, Bobby Heenan was an absolute master at it. And in all honesty, I don't care how many matches Enzo has had, he'll never be able to have the ring psychology and be able to take a bump in the way that Bobby Heenan could take and get the crowd going in that sense. But his ability to talk and be annoying and be loud and obnoxious, you know, I think potentially that could be what he ends up doing, because, like you said, he is so limited in the ring. He really is. You know, yeah. His job was to be the guy who, you know, builds it up, who takes the beating and makes the hot tag for Big Cass to come in. As he was getting experience and obviously be the big guy and win the match.
Well, he was basically a stunt double, wasn't he? And he was a mouthpiece and a stunt double. He was literally used to be thrown about. But yeah, I agree with the shout that he could be a very good manager. I mean, he could probably work as a heel. I imagine it's very easy for him to get people to hate him. He could work as a face. Probably, I don't know who you could go with. I mean, him and Corbin. Corbin needs a manager.
I think that they're hinting towards him. I think there's real hints, subtle hints here towards him moving into a heel character.
Mm.
You know, this kind of cheating thing. So it's like either they see, you know, opportunity to replicate in some way the whole Eddie Guerrero. Well, I cheat to win thing, but you know, being upfront about it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, without a hundredth of his talent, but perhaps it could be a way that, you know, by the time Cass comes back, they could somehow put them back together on TV, and rather than, you know, be tag team partners, it's, you know, he's his advocate, his manager, however they want to. However they want to package that.
Like, they've only had the one feud, but Cass wasn't really working on his own. I know it was a feud against Enzo, but it was very flat. Like, I don't think he could carry himself.
Yeah.
So I think that could work. I mean, there's loads of people who need manager. I mean, probably look at NXT. Roderick Strong struggles with promos. Baron Corbin, as I said. Ty Dillinger, maybe. I think he's still learning a bit. I think he's got potential on the mic. There's quite a few who need managers, and I think we've talked about in the WhatsApp group that we need more managers, more stables and stuff in WWE, because I think it is, other than New Day, is there any tag team that has more than just the two? It's a weird one. But yeah, I agree that Enzo, I think he'll do a marketing job at 205 Live, but I don't want him as a commentator, because that means I have to listen to him for 2/3 hours. and that'd be horrendous.
As a manager,
he could easily sell stuff or get people hated, make people popular, whatever. I think that'd work for him. I think there's definitely a future in this industry, but he's seemingly on thin ice in certain respects, but there is something there.
Yeah, it's definitely on thin ice. But I think that's the thing, you know. I think used in the right way, he can be impactful. And perhaps, as a manager, perhaps that can be the way that he can have some impact, because clearly in the ring, he is very limited. And as a commentator, I'm sorry, but no. You know, he's got his shtick that he comes out and he does, and he does that quite well. He delivers it well. But, you know, in terms of ad-libbing, we've got enough bad commentators without adding more to the panel.
Still got a tongue to come back.
Yeah, well, I think they've kind of just given up on that. They've just thought, you know what, Booker T was better than him. Booker T's good in some points, and then other points,
even when he went back to Houston, they didn't bring back a tongue.
Exactly, yeah. I don't know, it's just sometimes it feels like, because there's three people, it feels like, I don't know, as though they're saying each other's lines.
SmackDown works better, but you don't really need both Byron and, is it Scott? I can't remember his name. Tom Phillips. Yeah, I don't think you need Byron and Tom Phillips. Like, they kind of do the same job.
Not so much, because I mean, Tom Phillips does the play-by-play. Byron just adds
Byron's got
little better things here. What they always say is, "I was talking to him earlier on out the back, and he told me," and then he reels off this corporate message, and you think, nobody speaks like that. No, he hasn't talked. He hasn't spoke to you. He hasn't told you that. It's just not genuine. It's not believable. And it's, go back to the two-man booth. Play-by-play and a color commentator. It works so much better.
Yep.
It really does. Anyway, I mean, mentioning Byron Saxon and all that and SmackDown, let's switch things over to SmackDown. A few bits and pieces to go through on SmackDown, but first things first, it would be remiss of me to start anywhere but the final segment on SmackDown this past week. The whole Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens feud moving into this appearance by Vince McMahon, and we had Vince and Kevin Owens in the ring, and for me, this was just gold. This was fantastic. This was classic Vince McMahon. It was Kevin Owens really stepping up to the plate. And I've got to say, Guy, for me, this was Austin era worthy material. It was, you know, a legit headbutt. And the beatdown, I thought it was fantastic.
It was almost perfect, because it kind of lured you into a sense of Owens is just going to get dismantled here and kind of a bit broken and kind of being ending a wet feud. But that took a very dark turn very quickly, and it was simply fantastic. As you said, it's PG version of Steve Austin there, isn't it? I mean, there's limitations what you can do, but he nutted a 70-plus-year-old man and then just beat the crap out of him. I mean, when you've got Stephanie, obviously, it's kind of breaking kayfabe again, where Stephanie's meant to be on Raw, but she's came out and stuff like that. It just worked perfectly. And I think Kevin Owens has been fine on SmackDown, but to propel him into the main event picture, which I imagine most people would agree he should be a main event talent, this is the sort of thing that needed. He needed to up his game with someone, not Shane McMahon, because obviously he's very cliched at the moment, but having Vince come back on the B show for WWE, that's what SmackDown is, let's be honest. It just made it feel special. It made Kevin Owens feel special, and he should, because he's probably one of the more underappreciated talents at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you say it's breaking character, Stephanie McMahon being there. I mean, we obviously there was the Mae Young Classic final on afterwards and everything like that, but purely for her to seemingly break character, you know, is all part of the show, obviously, but that itself adds to the show. It all adds to what the magnitude of what you were seeing on your screen.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was made to feel it almost, its similarities there for me, you can draw parallels to the whole Steve Austin and Mike Tyson event, where they're announcing Tyson and Austin comes out, and the way that the ring filled with officials and the way that it broke down, obviously you know that it's predetermined, you know it's a show, but it felt real. It felt believable. It felt like, you know, maybe this isn't actually supposed to happen. Maybe this is, you know, this isn't actually part of the show. And that, when wrestling does that, that's for me is when the magic happens.
Yeah. And the question is here, where do you think this leads? Do you think this does lead him, I don't know, hopefully feuding with Nakamura in the future for the WWE title? Or can you, for example, see Triple H getting involved? I mean, would a face Triple H versus Kevin Owens work? I think that'd be quite an interesting one. Obviously, Shane McMahon's going to be in a Hell in a Cell, so that's going to be pretty damn exciting. But I think this opens quite a lot of doors for Kevin Owens' future. I hope he beats Shane. I mean, if he loses, I think that'll screw him over
I think it wouldn't be a good decision, you know, for Kevin Owens to lose an actual match to Shane.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're mentioning like Triple H, and I do kind of wonder quite where they could take this. I, you know, whether or not it's, yeah, Triple H as a face, because because of Triple H's involvement with NXT and so much behind the scenes, people, you know, the fans do kind of perceive him as a babyface, really.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's doable, but I wonder, having seen before, you know, the connections with Triple H, whether there's even the possibility of it, you know, it presented as some kind of like a hostile takeover, that, you know, Triple H taking over.
That's a good show.
You know, that's the thing. It potentially has lots of possibilities where they could go, but the only thing we got to hope there is they don't screw it up and end up, you know. Yeah, this is an opportunity to make Shane look great. For what reason? Because he's not a full-time wrestler.
Meanwhile, Shane winning clean. That's what we're going, isn't it?
Yeah, and then you end up with your actual full-time guy not looking so clever out of it. And that's the thing. It's where you take it, but, you know, the decisions that are made along the way and how people are perceived. Because this potentially, it's another big storyline for WWE. It's another thing to make money from. So hopefully, let's hope they certainly continue to take it in the right direction. I mean, but speaking of, you know, bad directions, we've got Dolph Ziggler on the list. But first, I want to talk about Bobby Roode. Now, we came to SmackDown. Obviously, a lot of pomp and ceremony, lots of people very happy that he's there. And then suddenly we don't see him for a couple of weeks. He tweeted out earlier in the week, you know, SmackDown is going to be glorious. You know, look forward. Where's Bobby Roode? Nowhere to be seen. I've got to say I'm a bit curious by this. Unless it's part of, you know, it's a smart way of because he was initially brought in, knowing that the fans would pop for him, presented as a bit of a baby face. Maybe this is a way to switch him over and get him heel.
Possibly, but I mean, I still think it's going to lead to him versus Ziggler in a painful, horrendous way.
I've got to say that when Ziggler was doing his, this stupid thing that they've got him doing now with the multiple introductions, the entrances, I must admit that was what I was expecting to happen.
Yeah, that's the same for me. I think it still can lead to that because I think he's 1 week away from doing Bobby Roode's entrance, and then they have a scrap, and then it leads to a probably what will be a crap match at Hell in a Cell, because Hell in a Cell is in the middle of October, isn't it? So there is quite a while to go for that. I think I'm right, I'm not sure. So there is quite a while to go for Hell in a Cell, so you can easily make a feud happen. But yeah, I think I don't know. I haven't watched NXT since he lost to Roderick Strong. Has he been on there, if you know?
Yeah, he did make a couple of appearances. He made one final NXT TV appearance, kind of officially like bowing out.
Yeah.
And then he's made a couple of appearances on the road.
Right.
You know, just kind of fulfilling and then, you know, I guess sort of paying homage, you know, to the fans, because he was listed as being on that tour. Yeah. So, just fulfilling the obligations. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that you can almost see it coming a mile off, that we are going to get a feud here that it's not going to help either guy. That's the thing from it.
Yeah.
You know, who does it help and how does it help them? It's not really going to help them, because Bobby Roode is over.
Yeah,
you know, and he's very good on the mic. You know, he's got a solid character. He's got a very popular entrance, but he's he's an experienced worker. He knows what he's doing in the ring. You know, he's a really good technician. You know, he'll have good solid matches. Dolph Ziggler is very good in the ring. Not a fan of his mic work. No idea where his character is. And unfortunately, he's been buried for about 3 years. You know, he was beaten into beaten into obscurity. So fans don't particularly care about him. So there's nothing really to be gained for Bobby Roode for you know, taking on a guy who's Bobby Roode's supposed to come in and feel a big deal. So why would he get involved with a guy right down the bottom end of the card?
Yeah.
And that's the question. And what's to begin from that to having a 50-50 match with him? What did Nakamura get from battling with Ziggler?
Nothing. I mean, you look at the SmackDown card. I mean, if you want, I know Rusev's been kind of destroyed as well, but Roode versus Rusev could work if you go in the face mark. Roode versus Orton. I mean, when he was at TNA, I imagine that was probably a dream match in a certain respect. He's well known enough to not have to be built by a crap feud. I mean, you saw it with Corbin, he feuded with Ziggler, Nakamura, Ziggler. Pretty much anyone who's came up from NXT is feuded with Ziggler. It's not needed with Bob. He's experienced, he's known, he's popular. He's ready for a ready-made star. Pim versus Orton would make sense to me. Hopefully Orton has the Higgins, but that's another issue. But yeah, someone of that, I'm not sure. SmackDown's roster is not the biggest, but him versus Sami Zayn, probably both of them need to win their next few. But in the future, I think that could work. But yeah, there's loads of routes that could go with Drew, but to come back to, just to always have Ziggler as your first few from NXT is one, predictable, and two, a bit crap.
Yeah, which is that whole thing with with Ziggler and this, you know, this multiple entrance thing, and, you know, cry assing at the fans, and I'm not this, and just like, oh, it's really, it doesn't make for good TV. Nobody, the big thing is, and it is a real shame, but nobody cares. And that is the thing. People stopped caring about Ziggler a long time ago. And they stopped caring because WWE didn't give them a reason to care anymore. So that is, I mean, that's down to them. You know, people did care about him. They wanted to get behind him. You know, and he is a talent in the ring. He can put on some fantastic matches. But the way that they booked him, people stopped caring. And then
they actually fixed him with The Miz. And then it just went, it fell off straight away.
It was just a short-term, a very short thing. You know, it was only because you thought that was it. You know, that the threat that would be it, he'd be done. That was the only the reason why people, you know, cared at all, was because potentially this could be it. They saw him as moving on.
Yeah.
So, It's a shame, like you say. You know, he can do it in the ring, but people just don't care anymore. We stop caring. He's been beaten to the point where we don't care.
All this gimmick is doing is just highlighting what he's bad at. It's doing the opposite of what they want.
Exactly.
What they should have done is just have him come out to just basically a spotlight and then just rest. If they wanted to do this, and then he can bitch him more. Him coming out as the fucking Ultimate Warrior, that is embarrassing. I think I've read they had the Ultimate Warrior's family's permission, which is good, but it was just bloody stupid. Well,
that in itself is reassuring that they at least thought, we might offend somebody here. Let's just check this out and shore it up first. So okay, fair enough doing that, but he's not getting anything from it, and it's just, oh my god, you're just wasting 10 minutes of a 2-hour show.
Pretty much.
And that's not including the adverts, so.
I mean, you've got people Sami Zayn not wrestling, and then you've got this crap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. This is it, you know, you look around SmackDown, and they don't have the biggest roster. And the Women's Championship has kind of took a little bit of a back step, it feels like. I think
the most interesting part of this.
She's
got James Ellsworth on a fucking dog lead.
But I I do wonder whether this is an intentional thing. They're kind of, you know, they're almost bringing that down, smoothing it to the side. I do wonder whether there's something else in mind for the future here, maybe in the next sort of 4 to 6 weeks coming up. Talking of titles, you know, we spoke about this beforehand. We've seen the return of the US title challenge. I mean, how do you feel that's working now in the guise of AJ Styles instead of John Cena? Do you think it's working well?
Yeah, it's just a shame that it's got Corbin involved because I don't like him. I think it's worked with Ty Dillinger, especially. He was obviously he wasn't on TV since his call up, really. He's had the odd match, probably. I think he had that little thing where he was in a tag team with Sami Zayn. That kind of stopped quickly. But yeah, I think it's done well in getting Ty Dillinger as a legit person. It's just a shame that it's seemingly going to be Corbin. And then it'll probably end up being a triple threat match at the pay-per-view. They can't just bring people up from NXT willy-nilly, but Corbin needs surgery as well. Him getting carried in the ring by AJ Styles isn't going to help his development. And
no.
Having a war of... AJ's good on the mic, but Corbin... He's still gonna get shown up by someone who's good on the mic and not even great on the mic. So I don't think it'll help Corbin. I think he needs, as I've been saying, he needs a mouthpiece, or he just needs to shut up and hurt people.
Or future endeavours.
Yeah. There is something with Corbin, but
yeah, there is.
They've done him very wrong.
Yeah, there's a genuine heel character there, without a shadow of a doubt. Suggestions are that there's issues with his attitude and popularity backstage, and yeah, he could potentially help himself more. But I mean, the Ty Dillinger one, that's an interesting one, you know, because like you said, he came up, it was quite over with the fans, that was popular, but they've not really done anything with him. He disappeared off the screens, and my feeling was that they shouldn't have brought him up. I said at the time, I didn't want him to come up. I thought the opportunity was there to really build him at NXT, that after Nakamura was gone, he could rise up, win the championship, and in the process, you know, actually make him a bigger deal coming across. And it's not to say that he's a future main event or anything like that, because I don't think he is. I think he is a mid-card talent, but at least build him up to the point in NXT where him coming up to SmackDown would actually mean something, and you'd get more out of it than, like you say, you know, a couple of tag matches with Sami Zayn, and then what do we do? Not really sure.
How we have forgotten a great feud with Aiden English. Jesus.
They had a feud?
I think it was the pre-show feud for a few of them.
See, I don't watch pre-shows.
Oh, mate, I mean, you've missed, like, the hype bros and stuff.
I will continue not to watch pre-shows then.
Hey, they're splitting up now. You can now, what I can't even remember his bloody name. Zack Ryder, what's the big speech?
Oh, annoying something. Annoying guy. Big, loud, annoying guy.
That'll probably be a pre-show feud. Yeah.
Yeah. Hoof, hoof, hype, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I detest. Absolutely detest this character. I'm sorry, I really do. I don't like him at all. Before we get on to... I was going to talk about the tag team titles, you know, because they've swapped over. I mean, the Usos have been fantastic, in recent months. Them and New Day have been having a really good feud. I mean... The New Day have got the tag titles back. We'll talk about that first, and then we'll get on to Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin while we're on the tag team division there. And we'll compare thoughts of quite where we think that one's going. But first off then, tag team titles changing hands again. Are you a fan of that?
I can see why they've done it. Obviously want to keep the feud going, because there's not really an alternative, as we'll probably come on to. There's not many other tag teams that are relevant. I mean, you've got the fashion police who are popular for the off, out of ring work. I think there is potential there. And as you said, Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin's just started, and other than that, not really anything else. But yeah, obviously this feud's going to get stale at some point, but they keep performing in the ring. I mean, you don't have to watch the promos and stuff, but if they keep entertaining in the ring, it's going to be good. Obviously you want it to move on at some point, but it still works. It's fine. It's great. And, obviously Xavier Woods is, I think he looks like he's been injured, so he's been off screen a little bit more. So it's taken a more interesting twist, but obviously because there's three of the New Day, you can keep having different types of matches.
You mentioned there that, you know, that you can't, you know, they can't fight each other forever. And that's a good point. I mean, just how much more shelf life does this feud have?
I don't think it's going to happen, but it would have been good to have seen this feud ended actually in Hell in a Cell. I don't know if there has been a tag team Hell in a Cell match, but that would have been a good first time thing, because this feud's been carrying SmackDown for a while. I mean, it's carried their half of the pay-per-view two times in a row now. SummerSlam, it was one of the only good matches. And I can't, what was it? Was it Battleground before that?
We shall not speak about that pay-per-view.
Have you still got your subscription?
I've resubscribed since then. I've forgiven them.
But yeah, this feud obviously carried SmackDown at pay-per-views for a while. And I think it would have been good. Not probably as a main event, but it's a big deal. I mean, we saw with the women's Hell in a Cell match from last year. It is a big deal. And it would have been good for that, but I don't think it will be because of stupid reasons. But I think it's got one more pay-per-view in it before you have to.
Yeah, I think Hell in a Cell, that logically could be the good way to end it. So Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin then, I mean, talk about two guys thrown together on TV to try and what can we do? Do you think there's a future there, or do you think this is, you know, purposely thrown up together on TV so that we, you know, that this actually develops into a feud, or, you know, a potential character change for Chad Gable or something?
I think the end game is to get Chad Gable over. I don't know how long that'll be. But I think this can work. I mean, I think it has to work. As we just said, there's only two, maybe three, if you're going to count the Fashion Police, relevant tag teams at the moment. So I think they need to have their spot in the tag team division, even if it's just for, I don't know, 6 months or so, probably less. So I think eventually it'll have Shelton Benjamin versus Chad Gable in some shape or form, but I think they'll get to title contenders, maybe even win it if they gel. I think that's the main thing is how they gel as a team. I mean, Shelton Benjamin's not really famed for his charisma, but Chris Gable was the talker for Jason Jordan, so I think it could work on paper. But yeah, it does seem a bit cheesy. Oh, your ex partner's on screen, son, mate, is now your tag team partner. It's like, okay.
yeah, less said about that, the better.
Mojo Rawley's his bloody name.
Oh, God, yeah. I prefer even annoying guys.
Even his name's annoying.
Yeah, Mojo. Just, yeah. Sorry, but no. No, Joe. No. No. Switching over to NXT, and we've seen the end of Asuka. I mean, quite a different way to do it, because normally, I mean, it's the good thing about NXT, well, lots of good things about NXT, but one of the particular things that I really do like about NXT is the way that it's presented in almost like your traditional territory style. Where if someone was moving over to another territory, they do the honors, that, you know, they will, if they're the champion, they'll lose, pass over the belt to someone else, you know, lose the belt and then probably have a return match, you know, just to signify that the champion is the, you know, validating the new champion. You do the honors, you know, and that's, you know, it's tradition. That's what you do when you leave in town, go to another one. And it's the, that kind of mentality that they've had in NXT. And it's been a thing, you know, the NXT champion does the honors, and quite often they'll validate the new champion as well by losing to them in a return match. And then they move on to the main roster, or it's, you know, part of their transition to the main roster in the case of Kevin Owens. So they've always done that. But with Asuka, very different. And actually thinking about it, it could be, you know, potentially this could be a big thing in that Asuka has never lost. Yeah. And she's had to relinquish her title through injury. But they curiously didn't really talk about the injury in the ceremony where she was handing over the title. Everybody came through from the back, applauded at the top of the ramp. Ember Moon comes down, they embrace, and it felt quite genuine. So it's clearly been presented as a big thing, and they're talking about her, you know, in negotiations with Raw and SmackDown as to what her next destination will be. I mean, which do you see her going to then? I mean, is the one way you think she'll go, or one way you prefer her to go? Are they the same?
She actually got confirmed for Raw this week. So you must have missed that one, Andy.
Oh, you're joking.
yeah, she's got confirmed for Raw, and I think I was reading an interview with Dave Meltzer where he said obviously SmackDown's a bit deeper in the women's division. Probably
he caught me out there.
Yeah,
because I know that there were strong rumours that she would be heading to SmackDown.
Just trying to throw you off there, Andy, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think it makes sense to go to Raw. I mean, you've obviously got Emma in a fatal four-way. I mean, I like Emma. She's clearly got talent, but they haven't done anything to build her into a title match thing. And beyond Bailey, Alexa, and Sasha, and Nia, not much there. And obviously, we've seen that. Since Charlotte's left, we've seen that group of matches on replay for so bloody long. It needs something new. And just a point on what you brought up there, obviously Asuka leaving via injury, I think it's perfect. I think it brings a new level of fear and intrigue into the women's division on Raw. And it obviously keeps up her gimmick, and it may have been a bit long drawn, but she made that title the most prestigious title in WWE. Not NXT, but in WWE. The women's title was the most interesting. It meant the most. I mean, you and Mo, and even myself, and the other time, we've talked about how titles change hands too often, and year-long streaks and massive streak championships, if they're done properly, they can be do wonders for the title, and that's what Asuka's done here. The NXT Women's Championship means a hell of a lot now, compared to when it was Paige, Charlotte, I know Sasha and Bailey had big matches, but after this streak, it was brilliant. And her going to Raw, I mean, hopefully the casual crowd takes to her, but she's a great talent. And it'll be interesting to see her work with Sasha, who we've not seen. She's carried Nia in a match. I mean, her and Bailey had, I wouldn't say a disappointing match, but they could have had better. So there's still room there. And Alexa's improving every week. So there's quite a few interesting ways to go, really.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I was unaware that they'd actually confirmed her. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that, you know, the rumours are, there were strong rumours about her going to SmackDown. But I've got to say, my preference would have been going to Raw, not just for the, you know, like you're saying, you know, the difference in the depth of talent on the individual rosters, but also that we've got Shinsuke Nakamura on SmackDown, and there's this kind of unique Japanese talent not relying on the mic skills. And you know, it's about the charisma, and there's something about them that you can't quite put your finger on, but they feel special. And I think to have two people, you know, that and them kind of characters on the same show, it would have taken the edge off each other. So I think having one on one show and one on the other, I think also helps them and helps the shows as well. So yeah, I'm glad then if they've confirmed that, then I'm glad she is going to Raw, because I do think that makes more sense.
Yeah.
And I think also with Stephanie being at Raw and having such an influence over, you know, what's going on creatively.
The Divas Revolution.
Well, yeah, whatever they want to call it. But I think obviously with, you know, she's married to Triple H. So yeah. Who better to have an influence on how to portray that character and get that across than, you know, than the wife of the guy who's just masterminded, you know, her rise and domination of yeah. NXT and really getting that character over without her having to do much in the way of promos.
Yeah.
And it's, and yeah, there's something there. There is something special there. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's Nia Jax that ends up with that title. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you mentioned about title changes. That women's championship has continued to flip-flop back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, it was embarrassing, actually. You know, Sasha wins it, and then, you know, she loses it on her first defense again, you know, and it's back and forth.
Then she did a interview or podcast, I think, where she's saying it's getting stupid now that she's not holding it for more than a week. And I can understand all the frustration, because Sasha should be a great champion, but if we go back to Asuka, I think the WrestleMania moment will be her versus Charlotte, won't it? I know it'll probably be after the next draft, so maybe a year on from this, the coming WrestleMania might be then, but that, I think her versus Charlotte probably could be one of the best women's feud going.
Like, well, ever. there's always the Royal Rumble where you know, the two rosters come together. Oh, so
that's true.
Who knows?
Could have a women's Royal Rumble where they stare down and all that crap.
But that could be a good shout though for a WrestleMania moment, Asuka and Charlotte. It certainly could be. And who knows who else could be on there by then. I mean, just briefly on the Mae Young Classic, I know you've not really sort of not seen much of it. I haven't watched all of it, but obviously you've watched the final with Kairi Sane beating Shayna Baszler. And I'd watched all the first round matches and immensely enjoyed the bracketology. That's, you know, it's such a good concept. It really is that. Gets a lot of people over, gets them into the fans, gets across who they are and all the rest of it. I've got to say that there's at least half a dozen of people performers in that Mae Young Classic that have potential to be stars for NXT, for the WWE. You know, there's Lacey Evans, who we've seen on NXT. She definitely has something about her. That we saw Piper Niven from Scotland. She's got a very different look. She has the potential to be a star. Rhea Ripley definitely has star potential. There was Toni Storm from Australia, another one with star potential. Then we've seen Jazzy Gabber from Germany, who definitely is star. I mean, the crowd were all over her. She could be a star right now. So, you know, in terms of what they'll be looking to achieve from that tournament, WWE, it's certainly exceeded expectations to my mind, because you could look just from the first round matches, you can see straight away, you know, there's 6 to 8 performers easily who could walk straight into NXT, and there you have a women's division to be taken very, very seriously. You know, Asuka's gone. This is the new generation, plus some of the people that are already there and rising. You know, that potentially NXT could become very, very exciting for women's wrestling. So it's I think it was mentioned in commentary that I think by JR that women's wrestling has never been stronger in WWE, and it'll only get stronger. And I've got to say, Guy, I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched any of it, to be honest. I didn't realise it was already the final. I'll probably watch the bracketology and then probably from the quarterfinals on. But yeah, it's the injection. It'll be the injection that the women's division needed. I mean, we just talked about Asuka there and Raw's lacking depth. SmackDown's, it's got more depth, but let's be honest, it's lacking people who you actually want to see. I mean, Natalia's the champion. She's not really done anything for it. I mean, Naomi's a bit boring. She can go in the ring, but she's a bit of a boring character. And then it's hard. I mean, the only ones who've... I think Charlotte's the only one who's a star at the moment. Right? Alexa Bliss has done very well, but Charlotte's the only one who's probably gone above the women's division in terms of superstardom. I know they're now called superstar. Charlotte's a big name. The rest are still, I don't want to say a secondary show, but it's like lower card stuff still, whereas Charlotte's main event. And that's what it needs. It needs people like Asuka. You need to find the new people who are Asuka and Charlotte, because the women's revolution or whatever they're going to call it is a bit flat. And having this new breed of talent, and whether it's NXT, Raw, SmackDown, it's needed, and it's a very good fit. And I when I get around to watching it, I hope the matches are very good, because sometimes it's a bit crap. And with the Cruiserweight, it highlights the very good points of what wrestling can be. And I hope it does the same there. And I will get around to watching it. And I hope it has more success than the Cruiserweight division's gone on to, because 205 Live and all that's a joke. And, hopefully the women's division doesn't get segregated and turned into a freak show.
No, well, that's the thing. It has the advantage that it's not, you know, defined and restricted by weight classes, that they can go in and just be a part of a division. And I've got to say, I think the benefit of this Mae Young Classic is that this is not just, you know, where NXT or people are coming in from, you know, predominantly coming up from the performance center, and, you know, they're all learning from the same people and all learning the same style, doing the same things. You call in on different women from different parts of the world, different styles, different influences, different training, different abilities, different experience. You know, they already know what they're doing. They've already got established characters, a lot of them. So I just think it adds more. It adds more to that division in the same way that they're bringing in.
Well.
Yeah, but in the same way that they brought in independent stars into, you know, to the male roster in NXT. And it adds a little bit of something to it. And probably for me as well, also helps those coming through the performance center to experience these different styles and learn different ways of working. So for me, it's all for the better. But in a bit more about some of the match quality and a few of the particular members of that, once we're back next week, yes, we will be previewing No Mercy, but we'll be able to tell you a little bit more about a few of those names that I've mentioned, because obviously he's your wrestling historian. He's more familiar with the names around the world than I am, and he'll be able to tell you that little bit more about them. So that's all to look forward to next week, which brings us nicely to the end, actually, because we're about out of time. So
this was meant to be half an hour.
Yeah. It never is. So, yeah, so I guess that wraps up this edition of the Pro Wrestling Index here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. And don't forget, folks, should you want to, you can always keep in touch with us on Twitter at PW_index. Do give us a follow, get in touch with us, and we'll try and do a bit more on there as well. Share us your thoughts about things that are going on, and any questions you want answering and all the rest of it, do that. But Guy, thanks for stepping into the breach.
All right. Hopefully, Moore will do his big return. He'll be like, just let us hit his theme music hit after a mission.
Yeah. He's just doing a Bobby Roode, isn't he? Teasing exactly. us that he was going to be on, and then he's waiting until next week.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so my thanks to Guy. As always, our thanks to all of you for listening in and hitting that download button. But until next week, from me, Andy Wales, it's bye-bye now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.